We're back to Neil Haley's show here on the Caregiver Dave Celebrity Segment. I'm excited. Welcome to the program. Caregiver Dave Nassani. Dave, how are you, man? What's going on?
Oh, busy, busy, busy. Waiting for my movie to come out any day now, and just don't even know how what to expect. But I try to keep low expectations. That way I'm never disappointed.
Well, my guest today is an actor, producer, and much, much
Oh.
more, Dar Dixon. Dar, thanks for stopping by. How are you, man?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Neil.
All right,
Appreciate it.
usually I go into other questions, but because it's a shorter interview, let's just go right to the chase and say, what are your latest projects as an actor? You've been working in it 30 years. What's going on with you right now, Dar?
God, you make me sound old when you say that. I just wrapped up a film. It's called Dying to Sleep. It's a psychological thriller, and it's based around a story by Charles Dickens, and it escapes me which story it is. They took that and ran with it. I'm one of the leads in it. Eric Roberts is actually not one of the leads in it, but comes in and does an amazing cameo. And we're hoping that comes out sometime in September.
Where will that come out? Where's that going to come out? On Amazon?
That's the glory of Hollywood. I'm not a part of it because I didn't produce this
Okay.
one, so I don't have the inside details. They're looking for their deal, their distribution deal.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have actor questions after you talk about the projects. What other projects are going on with you right now, though?
Well, right now, actually, what I'm doing is mic drop here. I was caught up in a pseudo-religious doomsday cult, and that took about 20 years of my life. Let that sink in. Okay, so now I'm writing a book about that experience in that cult. Sometime I think next year, it may be Netflix, it may be HBO. We're still working out the details on it. Again, I'm not producing it, I'm just a part of it. But my friend and I are in this documentary. I don't even know what the name of it's called yet. And he, ironically, we were in the same cult. He became the first male supermodel and gave away like $4.5 million, $5 million to this cult. No receipts. He's a
Wow.
Princeton grad with an economics degree. That's the power of brainwashing. So yeah,
Wow.
that's what my thing's about. Yay!
I have
So you
friends
were
who were part of
acting the
that.
whole
time? Oh, Dave, go with the question.
Yeah,
You were part of that.
I was. Actually, I
I
was
have friends who
acting.
were part of what years was that, and where were you located? Where did
It
they
was
send you?
located in the backdrop you've got there. It was in New York City mostly, and then it was also in North Carolina. It was in the 80s, early 80s, and it's a crazy story. You wouldn't believe half of
I've heard a story from my friend. And they're sensible people. Yet anybody can get
Yeah,
caught up in
the
it.
biggest misnomer is about people who get involved in cults is that they're stupid and they're weak-minded, and that's actually not it at all. The
No.
biggest
Yeah.
hook is it's an emotional hook that gets you. And if you don't have a strong sense of self and a strong, I call a program, and you come up against someone else who's got a stronger program, you're like, well, hey, maybe I'll follow that. Because nobody joins a cult, they join a group of people.
Right. They're out of business now, right?
Oh yeah, they're
Is he in
long time.
jail or dead or
Was it
something?
was it were
He died. Yeah, he died in
Right.
early 1990. Unfortunately, he contracted AIDS, just
Oh.
straight from healthy to AIDS, and he was dead.
Wow.
Yeah, it
So
was
Dar,
terrible.
you can't speak of it that much yet till it comes out, right?
Well, I can, but there's not much more I can tell you. I'm not trying to be
Spoiler
mysterious,
alert.
but I don't know what the title of the doc's going to be.
But what
I
about
just know
like
it's.
telling us more of your story as a
Well,
cult?
my story was I met this guy out here in Southern California. I had just a few years earlier, like 5, 6 years earlier, escaped the Iranian Revolution with literally the clothes on my back.
Oh my
Are you
God.
Persian? I'm half Persian. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I look like this. My mother's white. My father's the dark-skinned Iranian. But I was born in Iran, mostly raised in the States. And so I was just trying to catch up. We moved all the time growing up for whatever reason. And I met this guy. He was charismatic. He was funny as could be. He was interesting. He was intelligent at the time. This is the 22-year-old me looking at it. And I thought, wow, this guy's really great. He's got some cool ideas about life and metaphysics, spirituality, things that were important to me that never got discussed in my family. And I thought I was meeting these cool people, and it just quickly just devolved down, down, down. And then all of a sudden I'm in New York City. I'm like, what am I doing here? What is going on? But the hooks had been set, those emotional hooks. And I'm a really loyal person, and I try to always accept responsibility for anything I say. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to follow through. And those two things were my Achilles heel in this situation.
Oh my
Wow.
gosh, Star.
Yeah, you
Yeah.
were naive, in a new country. I can see
No,
how you do
I knew the states really well. I'd been raised in the
it.
states mostly. Yeah, 5 years
Really?
total in Iran, but the
So
rest of
what
that
was
time.
so the hook was
Amazing.
basically something better, more happiness, trying to bring
Well, you know, the initial hook,
right.
anytime that anybody meets any kind of a destructive group, whether it's, you know, a cult or the risk of upsetting some of your people, the former president and his group of people, you get love bombed. And people think, well, that's not possible with the last group of people I just talked about. But you get this attention and focus put on you. You're told how great you are and how much they love you and stuff. And, you know, if you're a healthy, balanced individual, you have a good sense of self, you didn't move every couple of years like I did, you know, like, wow, this is, wow, someone's paying attention. And yeah, that's really where it starts. And I
So
was naive.
did they isolate you from your family?
Oh my God, yeah, that was an absolute you know, you had to excommunicate yourself from your family. No
Oh
phone calls, no letters, no nothing.
my God.
And yeah, it's tough. I put my parents through hell, through absolute hell. Put my
It's now
brothers
you're
through
all
hell.
good, you and your parents.
Well, I still got two brothers that are not too happy with me, but you know, man, I'm working on it. It's a process.
It's
The
definitely a
prodigal
process.
son, yeah.
Yes, and it's terrible that you find that thing, you think it's the right thing, you go through, you follow the measures of what that cult brings to the table, and then you freaking are saying, "What the hell did I do that for? I lost my sense of self and choice and making the right decisions." Isn't that right, Dar? Where you really weren't making decisions for yourself that whole time you were in the cult.
No, in fact, anytime you're in a group like that, you're taught to suppress and just kind of push down all of your emotions, which is horrible psychologically, medically, for all those reasons I won't get into there. And then you don't make any decisions for yourself. And if you do make a decision for yourself, you're quickly reprimanded and things go sideways. Now, I'm talking about all the bad stuff, right? Because that's interesting and scary and it's a taboo topic. But there was a lot of good stuff that came out of it because I have no problem being by myself. I actually have learned to enjoy my own company. And I, like, when the shutdown started, you know, in 2020, my wife and I were like, we're built for this, baby. We're good. And so that was a great thing. As a result of not being allowed to make my own decisions, now I have more agency over that than I probably ever would have. And I'm just speaking for me, not like in a general broad term.
Right, because you learn
So,
about after going through a situation like that where you didn't make decisions, when you finally get the opportunity, forget that crap. I'm making
absolutely,
all the decisions. I'm going to take all
absolutely.
the responsibility for myself and do it. All right, Dar, the last question is from Dave. I'm impressed by what you're doing. It's exciting. I can't wait to hear some of the projects. I want to see that psychological thriller. You need to text me or whatever. You'll see my phone
You
number.
got it.
And when it comes on, then we'll promote it again. Except
You
I've had Eric
got it.
on my show. Eric's a great guy. Go ahead, Dave.
He
We've got
is.
some questions around caregiving, Dave. Good.
So I became a caregiver 25 years ago when my wife had this headache that turned into a stroke. She lost her speech, became paralyzed on one side.
Oh,
And it took a couple
wow.
of years for her to reinvent herself and decide she's going to do everything she did before her stroke, even with only the use of one arm, one leg, no words.
Oh,
And
wow.
she's now a cross between Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. She's amazing and inspires everyone who meets her. I'm Caregiver Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, trying to help other caregivers not make the mistakes I made because 30% of them die from the stress. You know, put your oxygen mask on first. How has caregiving touched your life?
Great question. Great question. I have a friend who took care of his mother through the end stage of her life and then his father through the end stage of his life. His father just passed away 3 weeks ago. And it was remarkable. What you just said is so accurate. And I don't think most people understand it. In the Iranian culture, you don't give up the old people. You take care of your parents. Okay. You don't just put them in a home. Like, you give up and you do. And the stress that comes from that is something never gets talked about in our culture in America. And it is brutal. It really is brutal. The psychological stress it puts on a person, the emotional stress it puts on a person. And back to what I talked about earlier, you know, that sense of responsibility and loyalty, it's a really touchy place to go. And I'm grateful that I was able to help my friend work his way through his feelings because he's kind of like a caveman, you know, knuckle dragger. I
Cool.
tease him.
Yeah.
I call him Mongo jokingly. But yeah, I think I hope I was, I know I was, at the
Yeah,
risk of sounding arrogant.
my website, caregiverdave.com, is meant to be a support group for those who have nowhere to go. How are your parents? Are they doing okay?
Good on you, man. Yes. My parents are doing okay. My mother's having a couple of medical challenges. She took a nasty fall, did a face
Oh,
plant
sorry.
onto
So now your
concrete.
father's a caregiver.
Yeah, and he's the older. You know, he's the older one of them. He's
Wow.
88. He's coming up on 89, and she just turned 82. And
That's
I'm just
fantastic.
watching. Yeah, I'm
It's
watching
great.
him
It's
waddle
great
around.
how active they are. You have a long life to live as well, Dark.
I
Where
hope.
can people check out information on you and go, where's the best place, Dark, to
The
find out
best
all
place
this
to
stuff?
go is to go to my website. It's dardixon.com, and you can reach out to me there. I will respond. I'm not going to have an assistant respond to you. You can follow me on different social media if you're so inclined. The website's going to go through a renewal, but whatever. That's the thing. That's what we're going for right there, the website.
Appreciate it, Dar. Thanks again. Thanks
Thanks,
again.
Neil. Appreciate
All
it.
right. That was the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment, guys. Take care.
Right on. Thank